Let's continue reading verses 16 through 19 of 2 Timothy 2. Now, in these verses, we have a strong warning concerning false teaching and its effects. We also have the encouraging truth that false teaching will not overtake the church, nor the truth on which the church stands. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. When Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, already false teaching was in circulation, and already some false teaching had penetrated or infiltrated some of the early churches. One brand of false teaching was early Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism was a mixture of Christian teaching with some of the ideas coming out of Greek philosophy and other pagan philosophies. Gnosticism as a full-flowered Christian heresy did not come about until the second century, but the seeds of it were already around in the first century, certainly by the time Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, which is about AD 66. In fact, Paul strongly refutes early Gnosticism in his letter to the Colossians, which was written a few years before this letter of 2 Timothy. In view of verse 18, it seems that early Gnostic thought was the particular false teaching that Paul had in mind when he wrote this section of the letter. In verse 18, we read that Hymenaeus and Philetus were men who had strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You see, Gnostic teaching and thinking denied the bodily resurrection, because to them, the material world was evil. Only the spiritual world was good. Furthermore, the body was considered like a temporary prison for the soul. So any idea of a bodily resurrection was unthinkable to the Gnostic way of thought. Therefore, the resurrection, you see, was spiritualized, allegorized to either salvation or what took place at baptism. So Hymenaeus and Philetus and others who followed their false teaching believed that there was no resurrection of the believers in the future. This false teaching was upsetting the faith of some in the church. Now, whether Hymenaeus and Philetus were Christians or not, who just had been taken in by this false teaching, or whether they were false professors that had infiltrated the church, it's hard to say. If the Hymenaeus here is the same as the Hymenaeus back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, it would seem that he was a true believer. But he fell away into false teaching and made shipwreck of his faith, as we see there, and had to be excommunicated. He and Philetus had strayed from the truth, as verse 18 says. So we see that false teachers and their teachings are dangerous then and today, and false teaching and false teachers must not be treated lightly. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points for these verses. Doctrinal point number one: false teaching can devastate the faith of believers. False teaching can devastate the faith of believers. Verse 16 says that the profane and vain babblings of false teaching would result in an increase of ungodliness. Verse 17 says that false teaching will spread like gangrene or cancer. Verse 18 says that false teaching results in the overthrow of the faith of some. Verse 14, if you go back to verse 14, we see that false teaching results in the ruin of hearers. And if you go back to 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, we see that false teaching leads to a straying from the faith. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. False teaching can devastate the faith of believers. Now, this does not mean that true believers can lose their salvation. That's not the idea. But it can lead to disappointment in the faith. It can lead to disorder in the faith, distortion of the faith. And even as we see here in verse 16, to ungodliness. The profane and vain babblings here, verse 16. What's that all about anyway? It's godless talk. It's worldly and empty chatter. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk about the weather or the Chicago Bears and their victory today. I hope that's a prediction. That's not what worldly chatter is. That's not what's meant here. You see, profane and vain babbling or worldly and empty chatter has to do with talking of sacred and holy matters, the Lord's things, in a worldly way. For example, taking the Bible as merely a human book containing some good moral values, but also containing errors, that's profane and vain talk. That's worldly and empty chatter. And it will lead to further ungodliness. Teaching that God is male and female in order to be politically correct is profane and vain babbling. Worldly and empty chatter. And it will lead to further ungodliness. The false teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus was upsetting the faith of some, as we see here in verse 18. After all, if you deny the bodily resurrection of the believer, then what about the bodily resurrection of Christ? That's the very argument that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you deny the bodily resurrection of the believer, how can you do that? Then you're questioning the bodily resurrection of Christ, on which the Christian faith hinges. Furthermore, if you believe that the resurrection has already taken place, as these false teachers were trying to get across, then why are we suffering now? And what hope do we have of Christ's future kingdom here on earth, etc., etc.? Any way you look at it, false teaching has bad fallout. Ruin of the hearers, further ungodliness, shipwrecking the faith of some. False teaching can devastate the faith of believers. Doctrinal point number two, false teaching cannot destroy the church of God. False teaching cannot destroy the church of God. It can devastate the faith of believers, but it cannot destroy the church of God. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that's an encouraging nevertheless. In spite of the false teachers and the false teaching, the solid foundation of God stands. Now what's the solid foundation here? Is it the truth in general, or is it the true church specifically? I think it's the true church that's in view here specifically, but of course the church of God, the true church of God, stands on the truth and is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. And the true church, which is the whole body of genuine believers, has a seal on it with two inscriptions. These inscriptions are what prove that it's the true church. The first inscription is from the divine side. The Lord knows those who are his. We may not know every true believer, but God knows. And no amount of false teaching can take away the life of a true believer. The other inscription is from the human side. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. True believers give evidence of their faith by departing from iniquity. If people say that they have faith, but they do not depart from iniquity, it may be an indication that they're only professing Christians. The true church has stood the test of time. There has been a continuous line of genuine believers down through history, in spite of persecution, in spite of false teaching. Verse 19 has definitely come true. Think of it as a prediction when Paul wrote it. False teaching cannot destroy the church of God. Practical application from these verses. Let's practice preventive medicine. Let's practice preventive medicine. Now, you know what preventive medicine is, right? Eating the right foods, taking vitamins, exercising, whatever it takes to stay healthy. If you don't practice preventive medicine, you just do nothing to stay healthy. You don't stay away from fatty foods. You don't take vitamin supplements. You don't exercise. All of your energies go into trying to get things fixed up when you become sick, you know, after you become sick, after you have the heart attack. Well, in the same way, this is true in the spiritual realm when it comes to false teaching. Verse 16 says, shun or avoid profane and vain babblings. This is definitely preventive medicine. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Preventive medicine. Stay away from worldly and empty talk. Avoid godless chatter. For example, don't give time to these new politically correct gender neutral Bibles where God is made father slash mother and he slash she. Stay away from that. Stay on the positive side of sound doctrine. Getting involved in fruitless discussions only gives publicity to the false teaching and leads to further ungodliness, as we see here. Let's practice preventive medicine. The constant emphasis on sound doctrine, that's your best preventive medicine. False teaching we see here is like cancer or gangrene. Once it gets started, it spreads rapidly, as we see in verse 17. Look how quickly the false teaching that the Bible contains errors has spread throughout the church. Look how rapidly the false teaching of theistic evolution has invaded and spread like cancer throughout the church. Once cancer or gangrene has taken hold, the only solution is major surgery. Well, such operations are not easy in the spiritual realm when it comes to false teaching. How much better to emphasize preventive medicine? So let's practice preventive medicine. The day-by-day teaching of sound doctrine to your children in the home is great preventive medicine. The preaching and teaching of sound doctrine week by week here in the church is great preventive medicine. And it starts in the Sunday school. So important. Let's practice preventive medicine.